The library of Vailcrest Manor smelled of old money and even older arrogance, a heavy, suffocating blend of beeswax, Morocco leather, and the lingering scent of the Duke's expensive tobacco. It was a room designed to make visitors feel small, yet Vivienne Ashcroft sat in the center of it as if she were the one who had signed the deed to the foundations. She was a vision of deliberate, expensive defiance. Her gown, a deep plum velvet that shimmered like a bruised sunset under the light of the bronze chandelier, pooled around her feet in a masterclass of Regency tailoring. To any casual observer, she was a creature of the ballroom, a decorative ornament intended for nothing more strenuous than holding a fan. But the contrast lay on the Duke's mahogany desk, resting just inches from her gloved hand. Spread open between them was a thick, stained ledger. Its pages were warped by moisture and grimy with the very earth the Duke claimed she had no right to understand. Beside the book sat a small glass vial containing a core sample of Vailcrest's northern soil, dark, clumpy, and currently failing. Vivienne adjusted her weight, her movements fluid and unbothered. She reached for the crystal decanter on the sideboard, the iSchool ruby on her finger catching the candlelight with a sharp, crimson spark. The gemstone, a symbol of her family's fadding industrial wealth, hovered momentarily over the muddy ledger. It was a striking dissonance, the peak of human luxury suspended over the raw, dirty reality of survival. "You've been over-tilling the North Quadrant for 3 seasons, Your Grace," she said, her voice as smooth and chilled as the sherry she poured into a delicate glass. She didn't look up at him. She didn't need to. She could feel the heat of his gaze from across the room. Duke Lucien Vailcrest stood by the window, his silhouette rigid against the late afternoon sun. He looked every bit the master of the world, navy wool coat fitted perfectly to his broad shoulders, his silver-topped cane gripped so tightly his knuckles were white. He was a man built on the pillars of tradition, and to him, the sight of Vivienne Ashcroft dissecting his estate's failures was not just an intrusion, it was a sacrilege. "Vailcrest soil has been managed by my family since the conquest, Miss Ashcroft," he boomed, his voice echoing off the thousands of leather-bound spines that lined the walls. He turned, his brow furrowed in a haughty scowl that would have sent a lesser woman into a fit of apologies. He took 2 steps forward, the tip of his cane striking the floor with a rhythmic, threatening thud. "It does not require the insights of a woman who spends her mornings at the dressmaker and her evenings at the opera." He stopped at the edge of the desk, pointing the cane toward the ledger as if to banish the mud from his sight. "A woman has no business here, not in this room, and certainly not in the dirt of my fields." Vivienne finally looked up, offering a subtle, Mona Lisa smirk over the rim of her glass. She took a slow, deliberate sip, her eyes fixing on his with a terrifyingly calm intelligence. She saw him for exactly what he was, a man guarding a crumbling fortress. Beyond the library doors, in the center of the hall, she could see the shadow of Elias Turner, the Duke's master farmer, waiting with a heavy, downward gaze. He was the prize the Duke didn't know he was about to lose. "The opera is quite dull this season, Lucien," she whispered, the use of his Christian name cutting through his authority like a blade. "I find I much prefer the theater of a falling empire." Lucian's face hardened, the skin across his jaw tightening until he resembled the marble busts of his ancestors lining the hallway. He did not care for metaphors, and he cared even less for the implication that Vailcrest was anything less than eternal. To him, Vivienne Ashcroft was a fly buzzing around a lion, annoying, perhaps, but ultimately insignificant to the beast's survival. "You mistake curiosity for competence, Vivienne," he said, his voice dropping to a low, dangerous rumble. He leaned over the desk, his shadow stretching across the muddy ledgers, effectively blotting out her sunlight. "My land is not a hobby. It is a machine of blood, sweat, and centuries of discipline. It is no place for a lady's whims or her father's failed industrial theories. I will say it once more, so there is no room for feminine delusion. A woman has no business here. Not in these ledgers, not in these valleys, and certainly not in my employ." Vivienne did not flinch. She didn't even set down her glass. Instead, she watched him with the detached interest of a scientist observing a predictable chemical reaction. The Duke was performing exactly as her data suggested he would. He was leaning on a cane of tradition that was already rotting at the base. "If that is your final decree, Your Grace," she murmured, setting the sherry glass down with a soft, final clink. She rose from the chair in one fluid motion, the plum velvet of her skirts rustling like a warning. With practiced grace, she began to gather her things. Her movements were slow, almost hypnotic, drawing Lucian's disdainful eye as she slid the soil samples back into their velvet-lined cases. But it was her final move that held the true weight of the afternoon. Reaching into the shadows of the desk's edge, her fingers closed around a heavy, parchment document she had prepared long before entering the manor. It was a formal release of indenture, a specialized contract that once signed and witnessed would sever a tenant's ties to the Vilcrest estate. During his earlier fit of bluster, while he had been packing the windows and shouting at the clouds, Lucian had scrawled his signature on a stack of routine labor dismissals she had slipped onto his blotter. He had been so blinded by his own superiority that he hadn't even read the names. Vivienne slid the parchment into her silk-lined reticule, the golden drawstring snapping shut with a decisive sound. That single piece of paper was the hidden treasure of the Vilcrest legacy. It was the deed to Elias Turner's future, and by extension, the keys to the Duke's coming harvest. "I suppose I shall take my whims elsewhere," she said, adjusted the strap of her bag over her wrist. She offered him a curtsy, one so perfectly calibrated in its depth that it managed to be technically respectful while feeling entirely like an insult. The Duke straightened, a glimmer of triumph shining in his eyes. He believed he had won. He believed he had cleared his sanctuary of a nuisance and restored the natural order of his world. He even managed a stiff, patronizing nod as she turned toward the door. "A wise decision," Lucian remarked, already turning back to his bookshelves, dismissing her existence before she had even cleared the threshold. Vivienne didn't look back. As she stepped into the hall, her eyes met those of Elias Turner. The farmer stood frozen, his cap crushed in his calloused hands, his gaze searching hers for a sign. Vivienne didn't say a word. She simply touched the side of her bag, the silk stretching over the stolen contract. The ghost of a smile touched her lips, a silent promise that by Monday, the Duke's empire would find out exactly what kind of business a woman could truly settle. The Sunday bells had long since fallen silent, leaving the valley in a heavy, humid stillness that smelled of damp clover and wood smoke. At the ragged edge of the Vilcrest estate, where the Duke's pristine fences met the tangled, overgrown briars of the Ashcroft land, the air felt charged with the electricity of a coming storm. Elias Turner waited by the stone stile, his silhouette a jagged line against the bruised purple of the twilight. He looked like a man carved from the very earth he tended, broad, weathered, and weary. He had spent 20 years coaxing life from Lucian Vilcrest's soil, following orders that felt increasingly like burial rites for the land. When the soft rustle of silk cut through the evening chorus of crickets, he didn't turn immediately. He couldn't quite believe she had actually come. Vivienne emerged from the treeline, her plum velvet gown replaced by a riding habit of midnight wool, sturdy but impeccably cut. She didn't approach him with the hesitant grace of a lady. She walked with the measured stride of a general. "He signed it, Elias," she said, her voice barely a whisper, yet it carried the weight of a falling axe. Elias finally looked at her, his eyes hollow. He didn't even look at the name, did he? "To him, I'm just a hand that holds the plow. One hand is as good as another in his ledger." "He sees the past," Vivienne said, stepping closer until she could see the silver of the stolen contract peeking from her breast pocket. "He sees a world where the earth obeys because a duke commands it. But you and I both know the soil is turning sour. The North Quadrant is dying, Elias. Tradition is killing your harvest." Elias looked away, his gaze drifting toward the darkened windows of the manor on the hill. "I've told him, I've begged for the new lime treatments, for the drainage pipes. He says it's industrial sorcery. He says if it was good enough for his grandfather, it's good enough for the valley. And while he clings to his grandfather's ghost, your genius is rotting," Vivienne countered. She didn't reach for a purse of coin. She knew a man like Elias couldn't be bought with silver. He was a man who lived for the growth, for the legacy of the yield. Instead, she reached into her satchel and pulled out a rolled blueprint. She spread it over the flat top of the stone stile, pinning the corners down with a few heavy river stones. In the fading light, the ink glowed with a technical brilliance, intricate diagrams of steam-pumped irrigation, chemical soil charts, and a crop rotation schedule that looked more like a masterpiece of mathematics than a farmhand's notes. It was a vision of a gold-stitched future where science and sweat moved in perfect, profitable harmony. "I'm not offering you a wage, Elias," she said, her eyes burning with a cold, infectious fire. "I am offering you a kingdom. On my land, you will not be a servant. You will be the architect. Every experiment you've ever dreamed of, every innovation the Duke called heresy, I am giving you the resources to build them. I want the world to look at my fields and see the future of England." Elias traced a calloused finger over the diagram of a subsoil drainage system. His hand trembled slightly. For the first time in a decade, the heavy somber mask of the weary worker cracked. "By Monday," he asked, his voice thick. "By dawn," Vivienne corrected. "Let the Duke wake to his traditions. You and I are going to build a harvest he isn't worthy to reap." Monday arrived with a deceptive, golden clarity, the kind of morning that promised a bountiful return on a man's investment. Duke Lucien Vailcrest stepped onto his terrace, breathing in the crisp air of a ruler satisfied with his borders. He had spent the weekend in the quiet smugness of a victor, convinced that by dismissing Vivienne Ashcroft, he had cauterized a wound of modern insolence before it could infect his estate. He descended the stone steps, his polished boots clicking rhythmically, heading toward the stables for his morning inspection. Usually, the air at this hour was thick with the industry of men, the sharp whistle of grooms, the heavy thud of workhorses being led to the traces, and the constant, grounding presence of Elias Turner directing the flow of the day like a silent conductor. But today, the stables were gripped by an eerie, hollow stillness. The Duke frowned, his cane striking the cobbles with increased force. "Turner," he bellowed, the sound echoing off the timber frames and dying in the hay-scented loft. There was no response. Only a young stable boy remained, frantically brushing a horse with trembling hands, his eyes darting toward the manor. "Where is my master farmer?" Lucien demanded, his voice tight with the first stirrings of an unfamiliar anxiety. The boy swallowed hard, dropping the brush. "Gone, your grace, left before the sun touched the weather vane, took his kit, his ledgers, everything." Lucien felt a cold prickle of disbelief at the base of his neck. "Nonsense, the man is under contract. He is bound to this soil by law and lineage." He turned on his heel, marching toward the workers' cottages, but as he passed the smithy and the granary, the silence followed him. The laborers were there, but they moved like ghosts, their heads bowed, their tools held with a listless uncertainty. As he approached a group of harvesters sharpening their scythes, the low hum of their voices cut through the morning air. They weren't discussing the weather or the yield. The name drifted to him on the breeze, whispered like a prayer or a threat, Ashcroft. "They say she's got a steam engine pump already sitting in the mud at the border," one man murmured, his thumb tracing the edge of his blade. "They say Turner didn't just leave, he went home to the future." Lucien stopped dead. The realization hit him with the force of a physical blow. The routine labor dismissal from Friday afternoon, the parchment he had signed with such arrogant haste, flashed before his eyes. He had signed away his foundation. He had handed Vivienne Ashcroft the only man who knew the secrets of the Vailcrest soil, and he had done it while laughing at her feminine delusions. He looked toward the horizon, where the Ashcroft estate lay. In the distance, a plume of dark industrial smoke was beginning to rise, a signal of machinery springing to life. For centuries, the silence of a Monday morning at Vailcrest had meant peace. Today, it sounded like the ticking of a clock counting down to his ruin. Vivienne hadn't just taken his farmer, she had stolen the very heartbeat of his land, leaving him standing in a kingdom of quiet, empty dirt. The division between the two estates had once been a mere formality of stone and moss, but by midsummer, the boundary line had become a visual scar upon the valley. On one side stood the ancient, crumbling dignity of Vailcrest, on the other, Vivienne's, phase two, was erupting in a riot of aggressive, calculated green. Vivienne spent her mornings at the fence line, not with a parasol, but with a brass surveyor's level and a notebook bound in oilskin. She watched as Elias Turner directed a team of laborers who moved with a new, frantic purpose. They weren't just sowing seeds, they were injecting the earth with the future. Under Vivienne's direction, they had treated the soil with bone meal and potash, neutralizing the acidity that had choked the Ashcroft lands for a generation. The results were a terrifying indictment of the Duke's traditionalism. On Vivienne's side of the fence, the wheat stood tall and sturdy, its stalks a deep, healthy emerald that seemed to vibrate with vitality. The leaves were broad and waxen, untouched by the rust and smut that had begun to creep through the valley. It was a lush, thick wall of defiance that reached Vivienne's waist, swaying in a synchronized dance of scientific triumph. Directly across the narrow bridle path, the Duke's fields looked like a graveyard of missed opportunities. Without Elias to manage the delicate balance of the North Quadrant, the soil had finally rebelled. Lucian's wheat was sparse and spindly, a sickly shade of yellow-gray that signaled a dying root system. The earth there was parched, cracked into a mosaic of thirst, while Vivienne's sophisticated irrigation trenches, fed by the rhythmic, mechanical heartbeat of her new steam pump, kept her furrows dark and moist even in the sweltering heat of July. The War of the Fences was not fought with cannons, but with the stark, brutal reality of the yield. Every afternoon, the Duke would ride his stallion along the perimeter, a lone, rigid figure in navy wool. He looked neither left nor right, but his knuckles were white as he gripped his silver-topped cane. He could hear the hum of Vivienne's pump. He could see the sheer height of her crop mocking his lineage. Vivienne often made sure she was visible when he passed. She would stand near a particularly flourishing patch of clover, sipping tea from a delicate porcelain cup, her plum-colored ribbons fluttering in the breeze. She never called out to him. She didn't have to. The silence between them was filled by the sound of her thriving empire and the hollow rustle of his failing one. The local villagers, the boundary had become a site of pilgrimage. They stood on the public path, pointing and whispering. They saw the Duke's best farmer knee-deep in Ashcroft mud, laughing as he adjusted a brass valve. They saw the lady of the manor holding a soil-testing kit as if it were a scepter. The psychological shift was absolute. The Duke still held the title, but as the summer sun beat down on the contrasting fields, it was clear to everyone who truly held the power. Vivienne wasn't just growing wheat. She was growing a new world order, one inch of lush, green velvet at a time. Lucian Veilcrest was a man who believed that the natural order of the world could be restored by the sheer force of his pedigree. He sat in his library, the silence of the estate now a physical weight against his chest, and drafted notices for the County Gazette with a hand that refused to tremble. He offered wages that would have made his father wince, convinced that for enough gold, the loyalty of the common man would pivot back to the true seat of power. But the starving lion of Veilcrest was finding that gold had a hollow ring when pitted against progress. By midweek, the candidates began to arrive, though they were a far cry from the generational masters Lucian required. They were drifters, discarded hands, and men who looked at the soil with eyes that saw only dirt, not potential. Lucian stood on his portico, his silver-topped cane resting against the stone, as he interviewed a man from the neighboring parish who claimed to know the old ways of the plow. "I need someone who understands the nitrogen cycle of the North Slope," Lucian said, his voice clipped and strained. He was repeating terms he had overheard Vivienne whisper at the fence line, words he didn't fully understand but had begun to crave like a lifeline. The man merely blinked, shifting his cap. "I know how to dig a hole, Your Grace, same as my father did." Lucian dismissed him with a flick of his wrist, a flare of hot, helpless rage blooming in his gut. It was a scene repeated a dozen times. Every time he found a man with a hint of true skill, a spark of agricultural intelligence in his eyes, the answer was always the same. "I'd be honored, Your Grace," they would say, their voices hushed with a peculiar kind of pity, "but I've already taken a retainer from the Ashcroft estate. Mistress Vivienne has us on a 5-year contract. She's providing the housing, sir, and the schooling for the little ones." Vivienne hadn't just taken Elias, she had bought the market. With the cold, calculated precision of an industrialist, she had mapped out every skilled laborer within a 20-mile radius and tied them to her land with golden handcuffs. She had offered them stability, innovation, and a sense of belonging to a future that was actually arriving. By Friday, the Duke's fields were not just silent, they were abandoned. The lion was starving in a cage of his own making. He watched from his balcony as a wagon laden with high-grade phosphorus fertilizer rattled past his gates, destined for the Ashcroft barn. He saw his own former tenants, men he had known by name for a decade, sitting atop the wagon and laughing. They didn't even look toward the manor. Lucian's pride, once his greatest armor, was now a suffocating shroud. He realized with a sickening jolt that he was no longer the gatekeeper of the valley. He was a relic. He retreated into his dim, mahogany-lined office and looked at the empty sherry glass on his desk, the one Vivienne had sipped from. He realized then that she hadn't just wanted his farmer. She had wanted to prove that in the new world, a duke's command was only as strong as the people willing to hear it. And right now, the only voice echoing through the valley was hers. The heat of August did not bring the usual golden haze of ripening grain. Instead, it brought a heavy, suffocating dampness that clung to the skin like a wet shroud. It began in the low-lying furrows of the Valecrest meadows, a faint, silvery-gray dusting on the underside of the wheat ears. Within 48 hours, the gray rot had swept through the valley like a silent plague, turning the Duke's once sturdy crops into a blackened, weeping mess that smelled of vinegar and decay. Lucian stood in the center of the north quadrant, the mud of his failing empire caking the hem of his trousers. He looked down at a handful of grain he had just plucked. As he pressed his thumb against it, the kernel disintegrated into a foul, ashen slime. It was a catastrophe of biblical proportions. Around him, his remaining hands stood with their shovels idle, their faces etched with the primal fear of men who knew that a failed harvest meant a starving winter. "Burn the infected stalks," Lucian commanded, his voice cracking with a desperation he could no longer hide behind his title. "Salt the earth if you must. We followed the old calendar. We sowed by the moon. This should not be happening." "The old ways don't stop the blight, Your Grace," an old man whispered, crossing himself. "The damp has stayed in the soil too long. The roots are drowning in their own filth." Lucian looked toward the Ashcroft boundary, expecting to see the same devastation. But as the morning mist lifted, he saw a sight that felt like a physical blow to his chest. Vivienne's fields remained a defiant, vibrant emerald. Her wheat was tall, dry, and glistening. While the Duke's land sat in stagnant pools of infected water, Vivienne's sophisticated drainage system had whisked the excess moisture away into stone-lined channels. More importantly, Elia's Turner was moving through her rows with a copper canister strapped to his back, misting the stalks with a pungent, blue-tinted solution, a chemical fungicide Vivienne had ordered from the city months ago. The gray rot stopped exactly at the Ashcroft fence line, as if deterred by a magic circle. It was the ultimate demonstration of power. Nature had leveled a death blow, and Vivienne Ashcroft had simply parried it with science. By noon, the wind shifted, carrying the stench of the Duke's rotting fields directly into his own open library windows. He sat at his desk, staring at the empty spaces on his shelves where his agricultural journals used to be, books that spoke of tradition and heritage, but offered no cure for the black slime currently consuming his wealth. He realized with a hollow, sinking horror that this was no longer a game of social standing or wounded pride. The blight was spreading. If it leaped the western ridge, the entire county would fall. The valley was dying, and for the first time in his life, the Duke of Valecrest was utterly powerless to save it. He looked at the silver-topped cane leaning against his chair, a symbol of authority over a kingdom that was liquefying in the rain. He knew what he had to do, and the thought tasted more bitter than the rot in the fields. To save the valley, the lion would have to crawl. The iron gates of the Ashcroft estate did not groan with the weight of antiquity. They glided open on greased hinges, a silent testament to the efficiency that now ruled these lands. Lucian Valecrest rode his stallion up the gravel drive, his spine as straight as his silver-topped cane, though every hoofbeat felt like a hammer blow to his dignity. He did not look at the fields as he passed. He didn't have to. The lush, healthy rustle of Vivienne's wheat mocked the silence of his own blackened furrows like a chorus of whispers. He was met at the front portico not by a butler in stiff livery, but by a young clerk with a ledger and a fountain pen. "Mistress Ashcroft is in the laboratory, Your Grace," the boy said, not even bowing. "She expects you." The laboratory was what used to be the Ashcroft morning room. The delicate floral wallpaper was now obscured by chalkboard diagrams and shelves of glass beakers that bubbled with strange, colorful precipitates. It was no longer a place for tea and gossip. It was a boardroom of the new world. Vivienne sat at a long pine table, her plum velvet sleeves pushed back to reveal forearms dusted with white powder. She was peering through a brass microscope, her brow furrowed in deep, intellectual concentration. Lucian stopped in the doorway, the stench of the gray rot still clinging to his coat like a badge of failure. The contrast was humiliating. He was a man of the earth who had lost his land. She was a woman of the mind who had mastered it. "I see the wind has changed," Vivienne said, not looking up from the lens. "The smell of decay is quite pungent today, even from here." Lucian gripped the head of his cane so hard the silver bit into his palm. "The blight is moving toward the western ridge, Vivienne. If it crosses the valley, 6 parishes will be without bread by winter." "I am aware," she murmured, finally straightening. She wiped her hands on a linen cloth and looked at him. There was no pity in her gaze, only a cool, analytical assessment. "Elias and I have already calculated the spread. Your traditional burn piles are only helping the spores travel on the smoke. You are essentially fueling your own destruction." Lucian took a step forward, his boots sounding heavy and clumsy on the scrubbed floorboards. "I am not here for a lecture on my incompetence. I am here for the cure. I saw the blue mist your men were using. Whatever it is, I will pay. Name your price." Vivienne leaned back against the table, a subtle, Mona Lisa smirk playing on her lips. She looked at the Duke, this man who had told her she had no business in the dirt, and she saw him for what he was, an unwilling guest at a table he no longer owned. "Isn't a matter of gold, Lucian? You tried to buy the market and you found it empty. You tried to buy loyalty and you found it had moved to better lodgings." She stood up, her presence filling the room despite her smaller stature. "The solution is a copper sulfate lime mixture, calibrated to the specific pH of this valley's soil, but it requires more than just the formula. It requires the machinery to distribute it and the men who know how to use it, men who currently wear my livery." She walked toward him, stopping just inches away. The scent of chemicals and iron replaced the smell of rot. "I will save Veilcrest, Your Grace, but I will not do it as a merchant selling a tincture. I will do it as a partner, or I will not do it at all." The silence that followed Vivienne's ultimatum was heavy, thick, with the ghost of centuries of ducal authority that refused to die quietly. Lucian Veilcrest stood as still as a statue, his eyes fixed on the bubbling beakers behind her. To agree to a partnership was to admit that the fence line no longer existed, that his titles and his bloodline were no longer the primary currency of the valley. It was a surrender of the soul. "A partner," Lucian repeated, the word tasting like ash in his mouth. "You would have me sign away the autonomy of my house because of a seasonal rot. You are an opportunist, Vivienne." "I am a realist," she countered, her voice dropping to a level of terrifying clarity. She stepped toward the chalkboard, tracing the jagged line of a graph that showed the Duke's plummeting yields. "The business you claimed I had no part in is currently liquefying in the rain. Your autonomy is already gone, Lucian. You are a king with no subjects and a farmer with no grain. You aren't losing your house to me. You've already lost it to your own refusal to see the world as it is." She walked back to him, her silk skirts whispering against the floorboards. "I want to hear you say it, not as a man desperate for a cure, but as a peer acknowledging a fact." Lucian's jaw worked. His face flushed a deep, wounded crimson. He looked down at her, at this woman who had outmaneuvered his lawyers, stolen his master farmer, and perfected the chemistry of his own soil. He looked at the woman he had told to stick to embroidery, and he saw the only person in England capable of holding his legacy together. "Say what?" he asked, his voice a ragged shadow of its former boom. "That I was right," Vivienne whispered, "that a woman's business is wherever she chooses to plant her feet. Acknowledge my acumen, Lucian. Acknowledge that you didn't lose Elias because of a trick, but because I offered a superior vision. Tell me that I am your equal in this trade." The Duke felt the weight of his silver-topped cane, the symbol of a patriarchal power that had suddenly become an anchor pulling him under. He looked into her eyes and saw no malice, only the cold, hard light of truth. She didn't want his humiliation for the sake of cruelty. She wanted the death of his arrogance so that something functional could be born in its place. "You are," he began, clearing his throat as the words caught. He straightened his shoulders, forcing himself to look her directly in the face. "Your acumen is unparalleled, Vivienne. I was a fool to dismiss the intelligence you brought to these ledgers. You have proven that the mind is more vital to the harvest than the name on the deed. It was the most difficult sentence he had ever uttered. It was the sound of a lion finally acknowledging the hunter. Vivienne watched him for a long moment, the tension in her own shoulders finally easing. She reached into her reticule and pulled out a small, leather-bound volume, her personal notes on the sulfate mixture and the irrigation adjustments. She didn't hand it to him, she laid it on the table between them, a bridge made of paper and ink. "Then let us begin, partner," she said softly. "Elias is waiting at the border with the pumps. If we move tonight, we can still save the western slope." The September sun hung low and heavy over the valley, casting a long amber glow that turned the rolling hills into a sea of molten gold. It was the final day of the harvest, and the air was thick with the sweet, toasted scent of dry grain and the triumphant hum of a valley saved from the brink. In the great barn of the Vailcrest estate, the usual partitions had been swept away to make room for long trestle tables laden with bread, roasted meats, and the fruits of a summer that had defied the odds. At the head of the central table, beneath the ancient oak rafters, sat a trio that had become the talk of the county. Vivienne Ashcroft remained as she always was, composed and regal in a gown of deep plum silk, though her hands, resting atop the white linen, bore the faint, honorable stains of a season spent in the dirt. Beside her sat Elias Turner, his weathered face split by a rare, genuine smile as he watched the laborer's toast to the highest yield in Vailcrest history. But it was the man standing at the head of the table who drew every eye. Duke Lucian Vailcrest did not hold his silver-topped cane tonight. It leaned forgotten against a nearby grain sack. Instead, he held a heavy crystal decanter. The room fell into a respectful hush as Lucian moved around the table. He did not signal for a servant. With a steady hand and a quiet, focused humility, he reached Vivienne's place first. The rich, red wine flowed into her glass, a silent, public reversal of the afternoon in the library when she had poured her own sherry while he shouted her down. "To the architect of our survival," Lucian said, his voice echoing with a newfound resonance that lacked its old, brittle edge. He turned to Elias, filling the farmer's glass next, and to the man who saw the future before I was brave enough to look at it. Lucian raised his own glass, looking out over the crowded barn. He saw men who were no longer just laborers, but specialists, men who had learned to read the soil and master the machines. He looked at Vivienne, and for the first time, the Mona Lisa smirk she offered him was met with a respectful, knowing nod. "We once spoke of business as a matter of gates and fences," Lucian continued, his gaze lingering on the joint venture deed that sat framed on the mantelpiece behind them. "We were wrong. Business is the courage to innovate, the wisdom to listen, and the strength to admit when the old ways have run their course. This harvest does not belong to a name or a title. It belongs to the partnership that grew it." He took a seat between them, no longer a lion in a cage, but a man among peers. The war of the fences had ended not with a conquest, but with a fusion. As the music of the fiddles rose to meet the rafters, Vivienne reached out and touched the Duke's sleeve, a gesture of solidarity that transcended the rigid protocols of the 1810s. "The soil has a long memory, Lucian," she whispered over the joyful din of the feast. "It remembers who tended it with intelligence." Lucian smiled, a slow, genuine expression that reached his eyes. He picked up his glass and clinked it against hers. "Then I suppose it is a good thing for the soil that you decided to make it your business after all."